Thank you so much. Love you guys. Amazing. So today I'm going to talk about AI. I have a feeling that some of you are here because you want to hear the talk about AI, artificial intelligence. So for those of you that are new, Theo's friends, I welcome you. I thought I just want to say that out loud. For those of you that are kind of new, first time, we want to welcome you as well. So today I'm going to talk about AI, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But what we're going to do is that we're going to see from a Christian perspective. A Christian perspective. What we are doing today is that I hope that through having a chat with you about AI, you are able to interact and to think through for yourself what you can do. Now, I suppose because of the size of this, the people here, from the youngest to the oldest, we all have a different understanding or different exposure of what is AI. AI stands for artificial intelligence, yeah? And so some of you are very familiar with artificial intelligence, some of you may not. So I thought I'll just take the next 30 seconds to kind of describe what AI is. Now, AI, most of you will interact through ChatGPT, so I will assume that most of you know what ChatGPT is. All right, that's good. I'm just going to assume that everyone knows what ChatGPT is. Now, so that is what we call a LLM, a large language model. You ask questions, it's kind of answer. But of course, some of you may actually start using AI to create things, to create tasks. Where the direction is going, where this industry is going, so there's this couple of terms that I want to introduce to you, but I'm not going to labor on it. It's more of a general introduction. So there's this term, is what they call general artificial intelligence, meaning to say what we want to do is to train the AI in such a manner that it is like a human being. It can respond like a human being. It can even mimic the facial expression of human being. Then you have the next level, which is what they call a super intelligence, whereby you're going to see that the artificial intelligence starts superseding the intellect of human beings, meaning to say in every different expert field, for example, medical science, engineering, education, in every single field, the artificial intelligence will then supersede human beings. So that is generally what we call a super intelligence. And then there is the one and final one. I mean, there are many categories, but I just kind of put a big category, which they call a singularity. So how many of you have heard of the term singularity? That's good. Some of you that watch a lot of sci-fi movie, you can actually get to know that. What is a singularity? So singularity is something that people are kind of fearful of. Terminator, which means to say the AI will develop in such an advanced stage, you have like a one big conscious being having everything connected and kind of run the world. I just put it in a very layman's term. So when you talk about artificial intelligence, today we are talking more of the, if you like, the general intelligence, all right? Let's not go to the super or the singularity. So, a couple of fun facts. Now, ChatGPT, when it first launched, I think I talked about ChatGPT a year and a half ago. When it first launched, I started telling the church, hey, this is going to be the next big thing. Check it out. Around the world right now, so when first ChatGPT was first launched, within 2 months, they have 100 million subscribers. It was the fastest growing app ever. And a couple of fun facts. Every day right now, at least 2.5 billion questions ChatGPT is answering. Robot is actually a word for forced labor. Interesting. One in three Americans says that AI spiritual advice is as trustworthy as a pastors. So all pastors, you better read your Bible. All right, that's good. Now, when it comes to AI and in my interaction with other people, I use AI a lot. And I talk to people. Mainly, there are two camps, yeah? First camp is, you know what? AI is this super scary things. It's going to replace all human beings. It's going to be like super intelligence, singularity, Terminator, taking over the world. Everything is fake now. We can't trust. So it's like we just reject AI wholesale. Like we don't even think about it. We're like, nah, it's not for me. Not at all. There are some people who think that AI is like the greatest thing on planet Earth. It's going to solve a lot of medical science problems. is going to resolve like this whole climate change thing because it's such a powerful predictive model, is going to be the savior of the world. So there are two extremes, but I hope by today's interaction that we can kind of think maybe there is something in between for us to think about. Now, today mainly I'm going to talk about three questions. AI is such a huge topic, right? So I'll talk about three questions that I think a lot of people are asking. Number one, will AI replace me? So a lot of young people, a lot of parents, you know, many times they talk to me, they say, Pastor Kenny, what's going to happen to my children? We're going to touch on that a little bit. But more than that, the question behind that question, which I will talk about, is what makes a human a human? Yeah. And second thing, we then talk about some practical stuff. Should I even use AI? If yes, to what extent? If no, why not? Now, by the way, when I present this, it's not a dogmatic, like you have to do it. So it's a suggestion for you to think about through biblical lens. So you got it? It's all good? So don't think that, no, Kenny is just being so dogmatic about it. But it's something to stir our thinking. And number three, of course, it's a very important question is, do I trust AI or do I trust God? Now, many of us will think that, of course, I trust God more than AI. But I think looking through it, we can ask ourselves some of the questions and perhaps challenge ourselves in terms of our usage and our thinking. So let's start with the first one. Will AI ever replace me? What do you guys think? Will AI ever replace human beings? Okay, so we're going to give it a bit of an interaction, yeah? So we're going to have a yes camp or no camp. So if you have the yes camp, can you please put up your hand? Will AI replace me? All right, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, where is the no camp? All right, cool. So there's a yes and there's a no. As you know, the answer is always somewhere in between. It's never a straight cut answer. All right, now the truth is this. When it comes to humanity, the development of civilization, we always are fearful of new things in life. When the printing press was first invented, some of the fear is that all the rubbish and nonsense will be published. Dangerous thoughts, dangerous ideology will also be published. That fear is kind of valid, isn't it? But at the same time, because of the printing, Bible and other good books are made available for everyday people. Motor car. When car was first invented, one of the things that they are fearful of is that it will end up killing us. I mean, you think about it, it's kind of true. Look at the car accidents. There are plenty of car accidents. However, if today I were to ask you not to use any cars, you'd be like, what are you thinking, Kenny? Same goes for planes, same goes for social media. We can go on and on. I mean, you can kind of get the drift where I'm going. There's always good and there's always bad. Now, some of the fear is actually justifiable. So some of you would know the CEO of Anthropic. So Anthropic is the CEO of Claude. His name is Dario Amodei. He said AI could eliminate half of all entry-level white-collar jobs. University students, sorry to say this to you, you got to start praying, start thinking, what's next for you? So this is one, the CEO of Claude, he said. Potentially, it could eliminate half of all entry-level white-collar jobs. If you think that your job is just involved basic data entry tasks, you have to upskill. Now, the truth is this. Let's talk about medical field, right? I think the other day I was just having dinner with Grace. We were talking about in her field, she's in healthcare. Recently she attended the conference. She's saying that there are things that's going to be introduced to the doctors and the nurses whereby they no longer have to perhaps physically write down what is needed. By speech, they will recognize it, and perhaps the prescription will be sent straight to the pharmacy and will be dispensed immediately. So a lot of the admin mundane tasks for sure will be taken over by the AI. Now, by the way, it's not meant to be depressive. Good news later. Don't worry about it. Now, some work will change, some jobs will go, but new ones will come as well, because with the AI boom, there are lots of new jobs. Data centers, they are one of them. There are a lot of good things that are coming out from this place. However, the question then we want to ask is this. Because the truth is, AI, at the rate that it's going, is able to do things that you and I can do better. So the question then is, what makes human a human? Now, when it comes to a theological term, there is actually two terms, but I'll make it very simple. One is what I call a functional. So you value human by its function, by what it produces. And a lot of times, companies, they do that. They value an employee based on the profit they can generate for the company. So your worth in a company, they can calculate down to the dollar cents. Now with AI, as you know, if they were to employ AI, they are not going to ever take sick leave. AI is not going to call in and say, I'm not well today. They are not going to say, I'm tired. They are not going to complain about the bosses. They're just going to work and work 24/7. They're just going to work. And it's already happening, of course, in those super industry, like the automobile industry. Now, the question then is our worth as human judged by what we can produce, judged by our productivity, or is human a human because of who we are? The difference is this. The functional one is what you can do. The substantive of who you are is actually given, inherited. Do you see the difference? Simple. Make it even simpler. Many of you here are parents. You have children. The reason your children are your children and the worth of your children has absolutely nothing to do with what they can do for you. Amen? All right, some parents, you need counseling. You should be yelling amen right now. It has absolutely nothing to do with what the child can do for you. But it has everything to do that he is your child. Or she is your child. Full stop, period. It doesn't matter if it's male or female. It doesn't matter if he's smart or not smart. Whether he's sporty or not. It absolutely has nothing to do with that. Of course, all those attributes, those stuff that he can do, form the person, but it has nothing to do with what he can do. But for the simple reason that he is your child. And that, my friend, I think in our conversation when it comes to AI, when it comes to evaluating the worth of a person, this is something that the Bible has a very good answer. The answer to humanity, what makes human a human. Now, of course, there are many things that AI can't do. AI can't be truly present. Okay, the reason why I particularly use the word truly present, because the technology is so advanced right now, they have humanoid robots, they can look you in your eyes, hold your hands, they can even sing an alibi and affirm everything you say and to tell you that you're the most lovely person in the world. But it's just a machine saying that. It's just zero and one, the binary codes doing that. It's not exactly a human. And that's the truth. This is where our society is heading. Now, fun fact. This is interesting. So this is an article by Anthropic in 2024. So they did an experiment. Now, AI model, the way they build it is like a bit like a neural network, like our brain, yeah? Neural network. So what they have done is that they try to experiment, right? In this neural network that they have built, they introduce certain terms. So for example, so one of the terms they use is Golden Gate Bridge. So you guys, by the way, the PowerPoints can be made available to you guys. Then you guys can do your own research and Google it. But right now, you don't have to do it yet. Yeah? Just listen. So they insert this word called Golden Gate Bridge. And then suddenly, the certain part of the neural network of AI starts lighting up and keep talking about it. And then further on, they start introducing the concept of happiness or sad. So a lot of times when we talk about human beings, we talk about emotion, right? But the concept of happiness and sad, when it's introduced to this AI neural network, to their surprise, a certain part of that neural network also start lighting up. So they were like, this is becoming a bit scary. So they then hired someone, and it's called the AI welfare research. Interesting. And to study whether the models that they are building might have real experiences. Does it, quote unquote, feel like you and I? That's the reason why we have asked the question, right? What makes a human a human? And this is what it says after the research. We can't prove that it's conscious, but we also can't rule it out. Interesting. Now, of course, we know that the part that is lit up is not feeling. Really, it's just zero and one. You know, how they build the model is they inject a lot of data, a lot of examples that the machine can quote-unquote learn. Yeah, it is purely a mirror of a mind, but it's not a soul. It's not a soul. The machines, they do not bear the image of God. So this is where it's very important, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Shall we read it together? Let's read this together. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We are created in the image of God. The very first book of the Bible addresses the issue of what makes a human a human. Because the truth is, at the rate that things are developing, very soon, or maybe we already have a humanoid that is smarter than you, that is more productive than you, that is more intelligent than you, both IQ and EQ. Like, everything. But is that humanoid a human? Has it got a soul? Did God breathe his breath into the machine? Frankly, as we know, AI is made in our image, but not in the image of God. They can copy what you do and better, but they can never be what you are. So it's very important. First thing first, we are all created in the image of God. Now, this image of God is called Imago Dei. Imago Dei, the image of God. It is center. It is central in the teaching of Christianity. As we come to push the boundary of AI, we have to start thinking about the ethical issues. We have to start thinking about philosophical issues. And this is where the Bible offers this important, important principle. That is, us as human beings, created in the image of God, unlike any others, we are worthy and we have dignity not because of what we can produce. You are worthy and that you are dignified purely and solely because it's conferred by God to you and is given to you. Can I get an amen for that? So look to the person next to you and say, you are created in the image of God. James, you are created in the image of God. I knew you were going to do that. All right, first one. So next question, should I even use it? Now, in Genesis, this is what God says. So after he created mankind, this is what the Bible says. We shall read this together, shall we? One, two, three. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, in short, for the young people here, human beings are the apex of the world. At least that is what God has created us to be. Being the apex of the world doesn't mean that we become the evil dictator and evil master that we start destroying the world, which we can kind of see that another side of, the ugly side of human beings. When Jesus, when God gave us this command, when God created Adam and Eve, the command he gave to Adam and Eve is to have dominion over the earth in a sense to care for the world, to protect the world, to cultivate the world. That's why Adam has to name the animal one by one. My goodness, I don't know how many years he has to take him to name those animals one by one, but the whole idea is this, is that us human beings are given this mandate by God to care for the world. And the Lord has given us the world. AI is a tool. And the truth that we are tool makers by design. So if you were to study about human beings, one of the key things that set us apart from animals is that we are able to use tools. Not only we are able to use tools, we are able to create tools. Amen? So that's important. Although some of you may want to say that, you know, Kenny, there's one particular animal that can use that little stick, like monkey, to like dip things. I mean, like, yeah, a stick. I mean, let's not push it too far, right? But anyway, that's the whole idea. If you want, we are advanced tool makers, all right? So that will, yeah, silent, yeah, hopefully. All right, different tools for different jobs. Okay, now, a quick one, quick glance. So these are all, not all. These are some of the AI tools available. How many of you can recognize all the AI tools here? Please put out your hand. Very good. Brian, well done. All. Okay, that's good. I'm very impressed. Who else can recognize all these AI tools? All right, I'm just going to do a quick one, very quick one. So here is my encouragement to us all. The reason why I say it's encouragement means this is not a biblical mandate from God, all right? So this is me personally as a pastor, my encouragement. This is not the command of the Bible, all right? So you have to distinguish that. If God were to convince you, or you hold the conviction that you should never use AI, that is cool. Some people hold the conviction that you should never drive a car. That is cool, all right? But this is just my encouragement to you. I think when it comes to AI, use it as a tool. Use it as a tool. So there are a couple of things. ChatGPT obviously is the most popular. Then we have the Gemini with the Perplexity. Claude is up and coming. I think the company right now is valued around $1 trillion. So for students, Notebook LM is good. If you want to learn deep topics, deep studies, Notebook LM is good. Later, I'll talk about using ChatGPT or Claude to do assignments. So students, just hold on to that. I will talk about that too. Okay, Gamma is excellent when it comes to producing PowerPoints. Amazing. Runway, so for those of you that produce video or audio content, Runway is really amazing. DeepSeek is cheap and good. All right, anyway, I'm not going to comment more than that. So different tools for different jobs. Now, let's talk about the good things that have happened. In 2024, we have two Nobel Prize winners, and all of them have used AI tools in the realms of physics and chemistry. So to be exact, I've printed it out for detail. So-called the godfather of AI. So I think there are three of them. So one of them is called Geoffrey Hinton. So he won the Nobel Prize because of the neural networks that he and his team built. Now, funny enough, so Geoffrey Hinton, he works for Google until 2023. He resigned at the 2023 to warn the world about AI. He built it. After he built it, he came out and said, guys, the stuff that I built is just way too powerful. Anyway. And AlphaFold, okay, that's important. I'm not going to say the whole things, but AlphaFold, that's important as well. So AlphaFold, what they have done is actually pretty amazing as well. They have actually used that to solve a lot of chemistry challenges. And then from there, I think they kind of map out the 3D map of proteins. I think around 200 million of them. And then they release for free to the whole research and scientist community. And by doing that, it helped advance the medical science and a lot of breakthroughs in this era. So there's a lot of good things that's happening in this area, AI, for good. Yeah, of course you can use it for evil, like any tool, yeah? Knife is a tool, a scalpel is a tool. You can use it to save life or you can use it to take life. Now, some of it, I mean, you already know, like deep fake, you know? You can fake a voice, you can fake many things. I'm sure you have seen those videos before, yeah? You can see a purely English speaking person appear on screen and speak in fluent Mandarin or Hindi, even in its own accent. Of course, we know that is not true. I was tempted to make that video of myself speaking Hindi, but I thought, let's not do that. We all know that. So there are some really evil stuff out there too. Not to mention about biochemical weapons and stuff like that. Now, I want to talk about education because this one touched on a lot of us who are students. So how can then we use AI in education? So I've been doing a bit of thinking in this area. I watch a couple of videos when it comes to experts talking about this area. So what I'm going to share to you has more to do in terms of posture, of attitude. It has nothing to do with policy. All right, so I'm not here to draft your AI policy in your school, all right? I'm just here to talk to you about the posture that we should have. Number one, I think what we should know is this. What is the goal of education? Yeah. So all educators, what is the goal of education? Now, education for me, I think, broadly speaking, is to be able to develop a person so the person can grow up to be a good and contributing citizen for the world. Good and contributing citizen. I just put it broadly speaking. And the whole idea is the development of character, development of the mind. Yeah. So that is the big picture. The question then is, how then can we use AI to achieve this goal? And I think that is a question that we have to start thinking, not just in the education field, but in every single field, including Christianity. Of course, medical science. Science sphere, it goes unsaid. I remember when AI was first, I won't say first launched, but first made really popular, I was having a conversation with my son about law. He has an interest in law. So I was telling him, I said, I think in not too distant future, someone would have fed this AI model all the legal textbooks, all the precedents, all the arguments, and very soon we're going to have what I call a legal AI. If you Google right now, legal AI, plenty of them. Some of them is already worth billions. So white-collar jobs. The question then is for us is, okay, so I want to talk about jobs a little bit more, yeah? I just want to touch on that. I think, again, this is not command of the Lord, this is what I think, all right? I think job losses are real to the extent of the job nature, of course. Right now, AI can't really lay bricks, yeah? So maybe TAFE is really, really good now. I don't think AI can build a cupboard yet. Maybe it can, you know, but I'm talking about customized stuff, all right? It's important, I think, for everyone, again, this is not biblical mandate, it's Kenny, to understand the tool and to use the tool for your field and for your God. That's my thinking. Now, you need to think from a position of employer, one who uses AI and one who doesn't. One who uses AI and uses it correctly, all right, your productivity level will increase by at least 2 to 5 times, if not 10 times, compared to one who does not use it. You then have to think from, if you are the boss or the employer, what is it going to mean? So I'm just going to kind of leave it as that. So we spoke about education, we talked about the job, We talk about the tool. Now we're going to talk about how AI can use to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the key barriers for us, for Christianity, is that we want to preach the good news of Jesus Christ to every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. The key barriers is actually language. Now, we have created the AI model that can expedite the translation of the Bible like super fast. What used to take years, right now maybe only take days. Bible translations. Live translation, something that we are testing out in this church as well. Gospel today can penetrate to places whereby it's totally close to the Gospels. You can think of countries that do not welcome Christianity at all. But we can distribute AI bots to this land, and people can still interact with the Gospel, or at least get a chance to hear the Gospel. Now, of course, at the end of the day, we do need human agents. We need human beings. Yeah? Now, of course, for our church, Dan kind of briefly introduced, we built an app. So programmer, I'll talk to a programmer. So they were interviewing a programmer. The Googles, Anthropics, ChatGPT. So they were asking their people, how many of you still physically write codes? How many are programmers here, actually, by the way? Just by interest. So we're one programmer. This is an Asian church. I'm sure there's more than one programmer, man. A few more. All right, good, good. Any female programmer? They're actually pretty awesome, too. Yeah. Just a quick one, yeah? Micah, I'm not... Yeah, we didn't rehearse that. I didn't mean to pick on you. Do you still physically code? Do you still physically code? Cool. Do you use any AI tool to help you code? Or you're not allowed to? You use Claude? All right. Anthony, do you still physically code? Or you don't physically code anymore, yeah? Yeah. You do vibe coding? Yes, sort of. Yeah. So they were interviewing all these top people who did coding, yeah? 80% of them no longer physically code. In fact, their CEO tell them, if you are still coding physically, I mean, unless it's like you think that the machine can't do for you, you have to think twice. Anyway, if you are interested, scan this QR code. We actually built our entire app using vibe coding. Yeah, and it's customized to our church. You can scan this QR code, or you can go to app.clickchurch.com. So in there, all the Bible study materials, the daily devotions, our sermons, and if you want to do our discipleship course, you have to sign up. But only after the church, I can kind of approve all the signups. So for now, if you can't enter in, that's cool. After the end of the day, we'll approve you. Anyway, so that's a good thing. Now, last but not least, how much should we use AI? How much should we rely on AI? Because the question behind this is very important. Now, as I mentioned before, the CEO of Claude Anthropic, this is what he says here. And this is, I think, in June. This is the latest article. He said Anthropic's own CEO called for a globally coordinated pause on the most advanced AI. He called it the nuclear arms control. The truth is, even if the US companies were to pause, I don't think other sovereign actors would do so. The heads of OpenAI, DeepMind, and Anthropic, Johnny Wong, in 2023, mitigating the risk of extinction from AI should be a global priority. Now, in 2026, so some of you that follow this news, I think it was Chris Ola, that's right. In 2026, Anthropic co-founder Chris Ola sat with Pope Leo XIV at the release of his AI encyclical, admitted they find unsettling things inside their models. Now, I want to recommend this reading for everyone. the Pope wrote 5 chapters on this. It's called the Encyclical Magnifica Humanitas, and this is a QR code. This is a very good resource for those of you that do a bit more thinking and engage more theologically and biblically when it comes to AI. This has been recommended to me by a few theologians. I have not read it, but I have summarized it using AI. So in the summary of AI, I mean, there are 5 chapters. We're not talking about like small chapters, big chapters. Yep. And in the summary, it's very, very good. Magnifica Humanitas. It simply means the magnificence of humanity. You see, again, it always goes back to we are created in the image of God. That our worth, that our dignity is conferred not by other people, not by what we produce, but by God, our Creator Himself. And because of that, we can look at each other. Doesn't matter of our profession, of our gender, of our background. We can look at each other and say, you are precious. 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 Can I get an amen for that? Now, should we trust AI? Interesting stats. 1 in 3. So this is according to Barna Group Research. Barna is a very well-known and reputable social research group specializing in Christianity. And of course, these stats are mainly from the US. Yeah. So this is what the research has stated. 1 in 3 Americans say AI spiritual advice is as trustworthy as a pastor's. I just want to make a note on this. When it comes to asking spiritual advice using AI models, I would say use it with caution. The reason why is this. If you are the expert in that field, and when you use it, it's very helpful. Because it becomes like your executive research assistant, if there's even such a term. So for example, when I use it, when I interact with theology and biblical stuff, when I scan through it, I know immediately which one is good, which one is not good. Some of you, perhaps you are a medical doctors. Same thing, you can use it as a research tool or as educators, but when you scan through it, you'll be like, hey, those are really good points. And then you'll be like, some of them, you're like, I'm not quite sure about that though. Like, you know, like, it's the same thing. That's the reason why, right? When it comes to advice, I think you got to use it cautiously. That is not because I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my job. All right, so 65% of practicing Christians fear AI becoming a replacement for God. And I think this is where we need to talk to the heart. So this is where I want to talk to your heart, talk to my heart. How fast and how quick we turn to AI compared to how quick and how fast we turn to God. Do you know what I mean? Do I rely on this so much that I trust this advice more than I trust the inspired, infallible Word of God? I think those are the questions we should ask ourselves. 48% of practicing Christians already trust AI to help them grow spiritually. As I said before, it is possible. I think it is good, but use it with caution. Use it with caution. Now, this is an interesting one. So when AI was first launched, the Catholic Church launched the AI priest called the Father Justin. And the AI priest told a user it was fine to baptize a baby with Gatorade. And that model was pulled within days. Now, remember, the AI model is what you feed. Having said that, in our church, in our app that I just told you, we also have an AI help desk. But the AI help desk is, we will not give you any theological or spiritual advice. So I specifically instruct the model to only answer how to use the app. Where to find Bible study material, it will show you. All right? When you ask questions about relationship, about Bible, the app will just shut you down. Say, nah, I'm not qualified to talk about all this. All right, so you can use that. Anyway, I thought this is a fun one. Father Justin. I heard some church also launched a senior pastor version of AI. And the cool part is that you have to pay subscription fees to talk to the AI senior pastor. I'm proud to let you know that your senior pastor would not do that. And I will not charge you money for talking to me too. Anyway. Oh, so good. There's some weird and wonderful stuff out there, I'm telling you. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots, some trust in heroes, but we shall trust in the name of the Lord our God. As we come to a close, as we prepare our hearts to come to the table, I think there are some things that we really have to come before the Lord. I mean, ask ourselves these questions, right? What can AI do? What you can't do? How does it advance human civilization? And for us as Christians, what we want to ask is, how does AI help advance the kingdom of God? Now, here's the thing, right? AI can never save you. It can't forgive you. It's really just a machine. It didn't die for you. It did not resurrect for you. But only Christ and Christ alone. In Romans 8, chapter 29, it says that we are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Are we conforming to the patterns of to the world? Are we conforming to AI? Or are we conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? And my dear friends, and this is the high calling of God for us, is that we are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ as we walk with him day by day. Three questions we asked in the beginning of the sermon. Would it ever replace you? In terms of the tasks and the jobs, yes. But in terms of who you are, never. Ever. Should I use AI? Use it as a tool to fulfill the great commission of Jesus Christ. Use it for the common good of humanity. And I didn't touch on this point. When Chris Ola went to see Pope, the reason why he went and see the Pope and is that he is actually asking the church to contribute in this area. Whether you like it or not, a group of men and women are making decisions daily to include or not include certain information in the AI models. They too need guidance and guidelines. And those people, according to Chris Ola, they are crying out for help. What are the guardrails? And I think this is where the church, we have to rise up. We have to interact with our society, with our culture, be at a cutting edge. Perhaps some of you are wise in this manner. You are good in this manner. I pray that you will succeed in the area that God has called you to be. I pray for God's blessings over you. And last but not least, we ask a question, should I trust AI? Should I trust God? We know the obvious answer to that. But more than that, I ask and I challenge you and I challenge myself. How fast do I turn to AI compared to Jesus? At the end of it all, everything points to a person. A person of Jesus Christ, who came, lived, and served, and died for you and for me. And he rose on the third day. With that, we now shall come to the communion table. Now, if you don't have communion element, you can put up your hands. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are most welcome to take part in this communion. But if you do not know the meaning of communion, feel free to pass to the person next to you. So put up your hand. Our lovely ushers will come and give it to you. Thank you, Jesus.